Amen. Well, I'm especially thankful. Good to see you all here this evening. And I want to thank our teens for being here present this night, this evening. I'm so glad about that. And listen, right before the service, they almost roped me into playing basketball. It was this close. And I thought I was safe. I said, I can't play basketball in these shoes. To which Miss Sarah says, what size shoe do you wear? I said, 9.5, 10. She said, that's no problem. I got basketball shoes in my vehicle right now. And I thought, I better come up with some other kind of excuse as to why I can't play. But they did a good job. And I'm so thankful these folks are here. I pray that you'll be blessed in your heart as they minister to us. Brother Randy, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing the guys here and every one of you. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship we've already had together. And I'm just going to turn it right over to you guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We are delighted to be here. And to my knowledge, it may be one of the first times we've been to Liberty Baptist Church here in Snow Hill, North Carolina. And we're thankful for the opportunity to come and sing and preach. Just a few things. I will come back after these guys sing a couple songs and just give you a little bit about the college. But I wanted to say, just by way of housekeeping, we do have a table set up in the back with a lot of literature. Stop by and see us. If you have any questions, we'd love to help you and answer you. For now, I'm going to have the guys come along, and they're going to sing two songs for us, and then they'll sing one right before the preaching.
I could tell of a story, thousands were fed when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could tell of the others, like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell.
Grateful to be here and thankful for your hospitality. I'll start with the introductions. My name is Peter Cheedy from Temperance, Michigan, and I am attending Crown College studying HVAC and Missions Ministries.
Hello, my name is Joel Christians. I'm a freshman from Rockford, Illinois, and I'm studying Music Ministries.
Good afternoon. My name is Elijah Garber. I am a freshman from Harker Heights, Texas. I'm studying Missions. At the piano, we have Paul Dunn, and he's a freshman from Miami, Florida, studying Pastoral Ministries.
Thank you.
If I only had one message I could bring you. Talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about Christ's blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love, and although it's bittersweet. Remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything.
Blessing. It's our only life's cry. That's our only hope. That's our only plea is the cross of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 reads, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Whenever we go to a new place, I always like to introduce ourselves, our college. And I know you've probably heard of us or know somebody. In fact, if you know Brother Sam and Miss Jocelyn, then you know some Crown graduates and they're in your church. So I don't doubt that you're familiar a little bit with what we're doing. But the reality is, I want to give you just in a nutshell all that Crown College has done in the past and is continuing to do today. The reality is, whenever there's a change, whenever there's a shift, whenever there is a leadership role that changes, everybody's wondering, what's the direction now? What are you doing? How have things changed? In 2023, our founder and pastor of 35 years, Clarence Sexton, Dr. Clarence Sexton, went home to be with the Lord. He started Crown College in 1991 and pastored the Temple Baptist Church since 1988. And there was a shift. Not of doctrine, not of the Bible. The Bible stayed the same. God stayed the same. Our job has stayed the same. But there was a shift in leadership from Pastor Clarence Sexton, who stood for so many years and taught so many things, into a next generation. Can I say it like this? There were some young men who were my age that were taught some of the same things that were true and dear to Pastor Clarence Sexton. And those young men went out and served in churches and were pastors and missionaries and preachers all over the world. And now God has brought many of them back to do the same thing that was done for them. Faithful men who went to that place, the Crown College, were taught some things, were given some things about God, were given some things about the Bible, and now they've come back and they're just doing the same thing, teaching my generation, teaching these guys what they've learned. And it's not really experience based. Our experiences come and go. You can't really learn many things off experiences, because if you don't relate to them, it doesn't matter. But the reality is, we're just teaching the Bible. The Bible never changes. We change, the Bible doesn't. People change, people pass away, people come and go, but the Bible is the same. And that is all we're trying to do at Crown College. No matter what your program is, we've got all kinds of programs and different areas of study. We have all of that information in the back. But the reality is, no matter what program you're studying, it is all founded and based upon God's Word. This is the main textbook. Everything else is subsidiary. And that's what we're doing, is trying to take what we know about the Bible and just commit it to faithful Christians, faithful young people, so that when our generation is getting old and passing off the scene, there's a next generation to take over the mantle and to continue on in the things which we have learned because they were taught to us. What a blessing it is to be here. These guys are going to come sing one more song. Watch what he came all the way. And then I'll come and bring the Bible message for this evening. Thank you.
God searched for a limit to his love. What should he keep and what should he give up to pay sin's awful price for such a worthless one as I? To rescue me, just how far did he go? I believe that he will take me.
all the way. Take me all the way.
Suffered upon Golgotha's hill, where Christ the Son of Heaven was sentenced to be killed.
Justice called for sacrifice, for sin must be condemned. So Jesus' blood is all our debt, was placed on. Sin was satisfied, and risen now he lives. We stand in awe of Calvary's cross.
So look upon the Savior, the object of our faith, whose finished work constrains us to lay aside each weight.
Consider what the Lord endured, that sinners might be saved. When I was lost, he took the cross and suffered in my place. My only hope, my only claim is Calvary's cross. Now he lives, we stand in awe of Calvary's cross. Now he lives, we stand in awe of Calvary's cross, of Calvary's cross, Calvary's cross.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's our only claim and our only hope. Calvary's cross. Psalm 46 this evening. Psalm 46. It's been a joy to be in the meeting already. Trusting God for great things tonight. Been in this study now for just a few weeks in my own personal life. Studying through the book of Psalms. Made it to Psalm 46 and got hung up on a few things. And as we travel and preach, I've found that it helps my soul. It helps me personally if I preach through books and preach through chapters. So I've made it to Psalm 46, and I've been preaching several weeks out of it. I've been covering the first set of verses, and then now we've kind of made it to the second set of verses in our text. Let's begin our reading in verse 1, just to get some context for where we come to in Psalm 46, and we'll take our main text from verse number 4. But let's begin our reading in verse 1, if we may, tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake it with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. We're going to continue reading because I'm enjoying it. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Amen. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I want us to focus in our attention this evening on verse number 4 through verse number 7. And the God's given me this idea, this thought this evening. And I want to preach just for a few moments on there is a river. Let's pray together and ask God to show us some things and commit some things to our hearts this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all of these folks coming out to be in your house on a Sunday evening. God, I pray that you'd help us now commit these things to our heart and let us articulate very well what you've put in my heart to preach this evening. God, I pray that you'd be our guide to all truth that you promised in your word that you would be. Help us now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Since the creation of our world, rivers have been a representation of life. Civilizations, the earliest civilizations, were started beside the great rivers. The largest cities in our country have been planted and started on the banks of mighty rivers. They are a sign of life. There's food in the river. There is water, the source of all life, in the river. It is a sign of life itself. Wars have been fought over them. Trade flourishes because of them. In fact, there are over 150,000 major river systems all over our world. Rivers are mentioned in the Bible even over 250 times. They've played a vital and key role throughout history, throughout our age, throughout the Bible. And as we've come to our text, we are introduced to one of these rivers. And I begin to study this out and begin to dig into this chapter, figuring out what river is he talking about. Is he talking about the mighty Nile River that flowed all the way through Africa? Or maybe the famous Jordan River that we read of so much in our Bible? Maybe the Euphrates or the Tigris River that flowed through that day, Mesopotamia? What river is he talking about? Where does this river start? Where does it end? What time in history is this river flowing? There is a river, that's all it says. So I began to dig into Psalm 46 and break it apart, and I found out that there was a war about to begin. King Hezekiah was in his reign, and there was folks called the Assyrians. Y'all ever heard of the Assyrians? And they were about to come against the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God. And in preparation for this attack, King Hezekiah does something very interesting. He goes to the spring of Gihon. And the spring of Gihon flowed just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And he knew in order to withstand all of these attacks, the last thing they want to be worried about is finding water. That's a bad fix. You're getting attacked by an enemy, and all of a sudden you run out of water. You can't last very long in any circumstance without water. The pastor was in the military. Was water very crucial to what y'all were doing? It always is. I think we take it for granted sometimes because we've got water flowing all through our house and we just turn on a spigot and it comes out. But he understood, King Hezekiah, in his wisdom, understood that if they didn't have water, they were not going to withstand this attack of the Assyrians very long. So he, through a system of underground tunnels, he routed this spring of Gihon directly into the city of God, into Jerusalem. And no matter what happened, no matter what was going on the outside of the city, at least they would have a fresh source of water, a fresh source of life. And as I study these rivers, as I study this river that King Hezekiah routed into the city of God, God began to give me some rivers that we have as a Christian. He began to give me some rivers of the Christian life. And I want to just tell you about three rivers that we have this morning as we walk along this road of life. Number one, look with me at the river of resource. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God is speaking of Jerusalem. It's making it glad because without water they would not be glad, but because they have water they are glad. It's making glad and is blessing the city of God. The holy place of his tabernacles of the Most High. Where was the tabernacle in the temple? It was of the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, Jerusalem needed water for their war. And King Hezekiah in his wisdom routed this water system directly into their city. What do you need? We are introduced to this river of resource in our text. Without water, they would have all perished. Without water, their flocks, their food sources, everything would have perished. But they had this river of resource flowing into their life. I doubt, highly doubt, that your need this evening is physical water. But all of us in this room brought something into the house of God this evening that we need. We need God to move in a situation. We need God to fix a circumstance that we're battling. All of us have things that we need God to supply. There's a river of resource in the Lord. When the bank account is running low, there's a river. God is in the midst of her. It's not a man's supply. This is a supernatural supply from God Almighty for his people. There is a river of resource for you and I. When the bank account's running low and when our spirit is weak, there's a river. When anxiety is creeping in and when depression almost takes us over, we have a river of resource. When friendships break and are weakened, when the plans fall apart, when you're in the middle of your storm in life, when you're going through a battle, when you are sleeping and the night seems so long, you can't hardly stand it and it's so dark and you don't understand why God is doing this, there's a river of resource. Amen. With a supernatural supply. The Bible says in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You can't fabricate this. You can't conjure it up. You can't fake it. No man can furnish this river because it is a supernatural supply. God controlled that water. I understand that he used King Hezekiah. But he protected that water source for the duration of the battle. God is in the midst of her, and the promise is she ain't going nowhere. That's in Buford, Georgia context. Now, I know the Bible says God is in the midst, she shall not be moved. That means she ain't going nowhere because God has his hand on that river. Hallelujah. In a day and hour when everything's going sour, when you and I are wondering what's going on, there's a river of resource with a supernatural supply. I've heard it said this way: God's will for your life, done God's way. God's will, done God's way, will never lack God's supply. He takes care of his children. There's a river of resource. Look, number two with me, at the river of refuge. The river of refuge. In verse 6 we read, the heathen rage. What is that talking about? That's talking about the Assyrians. They're raging outside the city. They're about to come against us. Although the heathen are raging, the kingdoms were moved. Things are falling apart. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Look back at verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. This is a pattern in this chapter, because they were in the middle of a battle. The earth was about to be moved. The kingdoms were falling. The earth was shaking and the mountains were moving. Everything was falling apart. They had a river of resource. God was in the midst of her, but they had a river of refuge. Would you look back at verse 1? God is our what? Refuge. Say it with me again. God is our refuge. And a help. Hallelujah. He's our refuge. So you find in verse 1, God's our refuge and strength and very present help. But then it lays out all these circumstances. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and the waters are of roar and be troubled, the mountains are shaking with the swelling thereof. So you go through that. And then in verse number 4, but there's a river. Just in case you forgot. Verse number 4, there's a river. The streams of it make glad the city of God. In verse 6, the heathen are raging. It gets really bad again. The earth is removed. The mountains are shaking. There's a river. Then it gets really bad. The kingdoms were being moved and the earth is melting. Verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. It's almost as if they needed to be reminded. Verse number 1, God is our refuge. Verse 2 and 3, it's really bad. Verse 4, God is there. He's the river. Verse number 5 and 6, it's really bad. The heathen are raging. The earth is melting. Verse number 7, but the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, just in case you forgot, from verse 1, just in case you forgot, in verse number 4, he's still there, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what circumstances are around you, the God of Jacob is our refuge. What a blessing to know that in verse 1, he's our refuge. And then you go through a trial. And then in verse 4, he brings you out of that. And he's our refuge. And he's the river that we need. And then in verse number 5, it gets really bad. And we're going through it. But then in verse 7, what a blessing. He's still there. He hasn't changed. Maybe our situation's changed. But he is still our refuge. The Lord is with us. Beginning of verse 2, I love this. Therefore, will not we fear? We don't have to fear. Amen. You know why? Because God is our refuge. I preached this morning out of the first set of that, and I don't think I preached it out of my system, but I preached this morning on verse 1 and how God is enough to be our refuge and enough to be our strength and enough to be our help, no matter what trial we're going through. But there's a river. There's a river of resource. Number two, there's a river of refuge. Lastly, look with me, the river of redemption. Let's go to John, the book of John. Just a few pages over in your Bible. John chapter 19. This is a different river. This is not a physical river on this earth made of water. John 19 and verse 34, would you look with me? The Bible says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. This is not a river of water. It's not the mighty Nile River. It's not the great Jordan River. It's not even the river of resource and the river of refuge in a physical sense of water. But as we come to the New Testament in John chapter 19, the river changes. But can I say, it's still a river of resource. And it's still a river of refuge. And it's still a supernatural supply. The river of redemption that flowed from the side of Jesus as the soldiers pierced his side and blood and water came flowing out. No river of water, but a river of blood. The pure, precious, holy, perfect blood of Jesus that flowed from his side. The songwriter said it this way, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilt and stain. Have you visited that river? It's a life-giving river. Without that river, the Bible says, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But because of this river of resource, and because of this river of refuge, you can enter into the river of redemption through Jesus' blood and have eternal life through Jesus. What a blessing to know that there's a river of redemption. The children of Israel needed water. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. He said, I can give you water and you'll never thirst again. It's a supernatural supply. And just as the children of Israel needed life-giving water, you need life-giving blood to save you from your death that you're born into. There's a river. The river's enough. Only God can take a black heart of sin, wash it in red blood, and make it white as snow. There's a river of resource. You may need something this evening. You may need a physical need met. You may say, Brother Randy, I know that I've entered into this river of redemption through Jesus' blood and been saved and bought and redeemed. That's the first river you ought to enter into. But you may have a need this evening. There's a river of resource with a supernatural supply. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And God knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it. More than anybody else, He knows it. He may know that you don't need what you think you need. And when I think I need something, it may not be what I think I need. That's right. But He knows. He's in the midst of it all. And if you're His child, if you've entered into this river of redemption, He knows your need and He's going to meet it. This isn't prosperity gospel. It's just Bible. God's taking care of His children. He was taking care of them in Psalm 46 through a river that Hezekiah had to dig a tunnel to get water to the city. The same God is taking care of our resources today. There's a river of refuge. Maybe you've been fighting this battle. You've taken all you can take. my friend, there's refuge in Jesus. Amen. In the palm of his hand, it says we're kept and no man can pluck us out of his hand. What a refuge. And the amazing thing is, he's doing it all at the same time. You don't have to pick and choose. When you need resource, he's your resource. He's your river. When you need refuge, he's your refuge. When you need redemption, he's your river of redemption. And he's continuing to redeem us. I'm thankful for that. Every single day. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor to do whatever he'd like to do with the invitation. I've enjoyed Psalm 46. It's been a great help to me. And I hope it's been a help to you this evening. There's a river for your life, no matter what you're going through. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. God, help us now. Commit these things to our heart. Allow us to live for you day after day. And remember, there is a river. God, if there's one in this room that's lost, would you save their souls before it's everlasting too late? It's in Jesus' name I pray these things.
Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist begins to play in just a few minutes. What a wonderful, wonderful message this night as we think about this river that's recorded for us in Psalm 46. And I think the punchline, the bottom line is simply this, is that Christ is all you need.
Yes, sir.
He has all you need. So as the pianist begins to play, perhaps as the Lord spoke into your heart, maybe it is tonight that you need to come to the river of resource.